There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Flash the 2 hour number two of the Doug and Wolf Show. Savages in the morning, as we all know, broadcasting.
Now, wait. Why? Hour number one, you bring it. I mean, you're boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, now, hour number two, are you intimidated to flash the two in front of Cliff Kingsbury?
No way.
Are you afraid what he's going to think of you?
Not at all.
That was a weak flash.
Are you kidding me? Not at all. I flashed the two. But hour number two is your hour.
Yeah, you made that up.
And you didn't pick that up.
You made that up.
You just kind of let the first couple of notes go without saying anything. Get jacked up, ladies and gentlemen. It's a Cowbell Friday. Go ahead and punch it. Everybody's working
for the week. So the Cardinals have this fantastic show, if you haven't seen it, at azcardinals.com, and it's on Facebook, of Cardinals flight plan. And their camera crew is here filming every move of Cliff Kingsbury, who just walked into the building. And they're also filming everything you do as well. You want a piece of my heart? Because you are Ron Wolf.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is just a bunch of bull, as we all know right now. But you know what? Honestly, it is a momentous morning, is it not, ladies and gentlemen? The final day of Newsmakers Week 2019, a Doug and Wolf tradition like no other, ladies and gentlemen. How many years is this now? A decade? I believe it's a decade, is it not?
We did it. Well, when did you go to the Super Bowl? You went to the Super Bowl the year of 2008. No, the year of 2009, was it?
It was 2009.
It was Super Bowl of the 08 season.
Yes.
So we did it. The first Newsmakers Week was 2008, before the season started.
Wow.
But then when we went, we had the Super Bowl right into an NBA All-Star game in Phoenix. And we decided there's no way we can pull off Newsmakers Week during all of that.
Yes.
And then it's been consecutive ever since.
Yes.
So we've had it ever since the Super Bowl, after that Super Bowl trip.
Man, that's a good memory, Douglas. I'm trying to remember what I had for dinner last night. Lasagna.
Yeah, that's everything. But before we get to Cliff Kingsbury, because this is a major highlight to have the Arizona Cardinals head coach. First time we've had a Cardinals head coach live in the Oxygen Community Studios since Ken Wisenhunt. So that's about 7 years ago, maybe something like that. So that's a big deal. But let's recap everything to this point that's happened on Newsmakers Week. Dan Marley, Monday morning, in one of the most downloaded ever interviews of Newsmakers Week. A lot of parents wanting their kids to hear Dan Marley say,
They're different in the fact that they're entitled. They think it should just happen. They don't understand why I'm not playing well, or why am I not starting, or why am I not getting it done? Why isn't this not happening to me? Because you're not putting in the time. I tell them, you're just not doing it.
Well, they just lost in an overtime last night by a score of 16-4 in the overtime. If he was upset last weekend, how's he doing this morning?
What's amazing about that is Dan Marley was the first guest, ladies and gentlemen, we had in studio, the first guest period in Newsmakers Week, and the intensity that he brought.
Yes.
He kicked it off in a beautiful, beautiful kind of way.
He talked about too many of his players on Fortnite. Then Monday ended with Herm Edwards saying the same thing.
So, what are some things in Fortnite that you can throw together as a coach and kind of go, oh, yeah. See, here's my pet peeve is that the younger generation, they have this button when they play these games. It's called reset. Well, in life, you don't get to reset. There's consequences. And a lot of times, because of the way their brain works, the score's not, I'm going to start over. You don't get to start over. You got to feel consequences.
You got to feel consequences.
Oh, my goodness. That is so good right there. A couple of things. Number one, I was thinking to myself, can you imagine this guy sitting in your living room recruiting you? That was my first takeaway from Herm Edwards. And my second thought was, don't press in.
We didn't get to that one.
With the reset button.
Igor Kokoschkov, when's the last time you ever lost your mind on the court? Because we want to see it.
Well, we're all different, you know. It's you can't push away your emotions, you know. Mm-hmm. And just they exist and you care. But you also have to be responsible for your team, responsible for making right decisions. So the way
at some point I'd like to see him be irresponsible.
Yes, I know. You know what?
I admit
honestly, though, his control is incredible. It really is. And his logic is right on spot. I mean, it's right on the money. If you listen to how Igor explains how it is and what it is that he feels and why he does what he does, it makes perfect sense. But at some point in time, when you compete, you have to let emotion override intellect.
And then following Igor, the general manager of the Arizona Cardinals, came in studio, Steve Keim, and we asked about Kyler Murray, Haskins, quarterbacks. Are you afraid to draft a quarterback? Will you draft a quarterback? Who's going to be the first pick?
I mean, I can say this truthfully. I truly don't know who we're going to take. And because
that was it right
no,
there.
Because again, we have not been through the process, which is, again, to meet with our scouts and our coaches. I haven't met one college football player yet personally. So that is a huge part of this process. Again, as I said earlier, to get to know the person, to understand what makes them tick, to understand how passionate they are about the game, mm-hmm. to see how they'll fit, again, in our culture. And so it's way too early to even consider who is going to be the number one pick. But it's a lot of fun for our league, and it's certainly fun for all of us to talk about.
Yeah, that answer right there, I expect him to say pretty much the same thing. Now, he may admit that they know who they're going to take. They're just never going to let you know who that person is going to be, right? Because there are things that happen on draft day. There are draft day deals that get done, right? But he's being truthful right now, as we all know, because, yeah, they've got so much of their work to do. The combine has not even happened. So we all understand that and get it.
Jerry Colangelo, the godfather of Phoenix in the Auction Community Studios. Because of the price of NBA franchises right now, number one. And number two, because this team does nothing but lose. Jerry Colangelo, here was my question. Do you regret selling the Phoenix Suns?
I don't regret making the decision I did because of the reasons I made the decision. Have I missed it? Of course. You know, everything about the Suns has an impact on me, because how could it not? You know, when you give birth to something and you build it and you grow it, and, you know, I felt that when I sold to Robert Sarver, he had a full deck.
Mm. Boy, that right there, very interesting conversation we had with Jerry Colangelo. And this guy, he just gets better every year, if you ask me, and he looks exactly the same as he has in the last 15 years.
He went deeper, too, in discussing what he would do to make sure Devin Booker remains a Son for life and how he would handle that relationship. And one more conversation that I'll send you to ArizonaSports.com to hear, or ask you to subscribe to the Doug and Wolf podcast brought to you this week by Kinetico, and that is Mike Hazen called September an embarrassment and talked to us about how focused the players are to fix it. It was a powerful conversation. That was Newsmakers Week 2019, going into the first sit-down conversation with Cliff Kingsbury. Cliff, there's a lot of quarterbacks in the draft, and you've got one that this team drafted last year. Which quarterback fits your system, the Air Raid, best? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The decisions they make influence sports in Arizona now and in the future. Every move they make is news. Doug and Wolf bring you Newsmakers Week 2019, presented by Enterprise Bank and Trust. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. The Arizona Cardinals.
The new head coach of the Arizona Cardinals is Cliff Kingsbury, and he is sitting right now in the Auction Community Studios with Doug and Wolf for Newsmakers Week 2019. Coach, good morning. Do you have a house? Are you settled? Do you feel like you're in Arizona at all? Welcome to the city, even though you've been here for a month. How you doing?
I'm doing well, yeah. I'm working on all those things. Still at the hotel right now, but it's been awesome. What a beautiful time of year to be out here, and really enjoyed my time so far.
Nice of you to say that now, when we've had the worst weather we've had in 10 years, I think, this week. So that's good.
Coach, you glad the coaching staff is assembled now and that part of it is over? I would imagine that's caused you a lot of stress, right?
There's a lot that goes into that, and we had a very thorough process and really excited about the staff we put together. To be able to get everybody in and start talking X's and O's and draft and free agency has been a lot of fun.
What went into it to figure out who's the right guy for each position?
Yeah, I mean, just you want to meet as many as you can. I think a guy coming from the college ranks who my network isn't as big in the NFL as maybe some. I needed to sit down, needed to talk to a lot of people, wanted to get a lot of ideas from other people of how things are done, how they've done in other places. And so we were very extensive, and Steve Keim did a tremendous job of helping me and aligning me with some of these people. And it went well. Really, mm-hmm. really excited about the group we ended up with, and it's been fun to work with them so far.
Coach, you, Josh Rosen, of course, and Kyler Murray are and will be the biggest story leading up to the draft. Does that bother you?
No, I don't think so. I think it comes with the territory. Anytime you have the number one pick, there's a lot of intrigue and a lot of hype. And, you know, both those guys are tremendous players. And it's going to be fun going through the process for the first time.
It is funny, though. And I know you probably are already sick of the quote. But it's so funny. For you are the first human being in the history of planet Earth to ever declare who should be the number one pick in your mind. And then actually have the opportunity to take that guy just a few months later. I get it was before your play at Oklahoma. You're trying to build up Kyler Murray. But now that you have the chance, are you going to be studying everything about Kyler Murray going into the combine? Or do you kind of say, I've already got Josh. I'm dismissing all quarterbacks.
Yeah, it makes you think you're in the Truman Show. You know, when something like that comes out, you're waiting for the guy to kind of, hey, this is all a big play that you're in. But no, I think anytime you have the first pick, you're going to look at all the top guys. You're going to evaluate everyone, see who can help your franchise, your organization the most right now. And so we'll evaluate them all and go from there.
As a former player, I could say to myself, you know, wow, what a big distraction that could possibly be to Josh Rosen, right? What a big distraction. And then on the second thought that I have as a former player is, you know what, hey, this is the NFL. This is a mercenary league. You better toughen up, right? Hopefully that's not going to be a distraction. What are your thoughts on this in regard to Josh Rosen and it possibly becoming a distraction?
Yeah, I don't think it will. Josh is he's a strong-minded young man, very competitive and very talented. And he understands that, just like everybody does in this league, that the day you get drafted, everybody's trying to find the next guy to replace you.
That's
and
right.
That's just the nature of the business. And it comes with the territory.
Michael Bidwell told us a really interesting story about, out of all the coaching candidates that came in, you were the one that said, I want to talk Josh Rosen, show me the film, and I want to show you what we're going to do with him and why he wasn't successful. If you don't mind, as you went through that process with Josh Rosen, did you become sold on him? Can he run the air raid offense, as Cliff Kingsbury would call it?
Yeah, I've always been, you know, fascinated with Josh, watching him play at UCLA, the talent he had, the arm talent is extraordinary. You know, it's as good as anybody you'll find. I thought he showed a lot of mental toughness going through a bunch of different coordinators and continues to get up and continues to fight. And that goes a long way. And I think every time I've turned on the tape, there's something you watch that you like and can build with. And so that's exciting for me.
You know, your offense has been called a quarterback-friendly offense. And I want to go into it more in the next beautiful part of the program, the next segment. But it's been called a quarterback-friendly offense. Why do you think that is, Cliff?
I guess because we've had guys that have been successful, you know, at that position. They played well and put up big numbers. And I think more than anything, we adapt to them. We don't try to make them something they're not. We're going to play to their strengths and find things they do really well and run plays that they're comfortable with. And if that makes a quarterback friendly, then so be it. But we're about making first downs and trying to score a lot of points.
Cardinals head coach Cliff Kingsbury joining Doug and Wolf for Newsmakers Week 2019. That's an interesting point. It sounds simple, but when you say you try to tailor make it, I was wondering what would happen if you walk into Steve Keim's office at some point, you've done all your evaluation, and you say, Dwayne Haskins is the best guy for my offense. Kyler Murray is the best guy for my offense. Or you say, we're not going quarterback. Josh Rosen's the best guy for my offense. But it sounds like to you, is there a prototypical Cliff Kingsbury quarterback, or it doesn't matter who you have, you adjust?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I mean, I think you can build it around. You want the base skill set. You want guys, obviously, to be smart, talented, competitive. But we try to adapt it to their best skill set and make sure they're successful and they're comfortable in it. And so we've done it with a variety of different kind of styles of play and different type of mindsets.
And you're not afraid, though, to go up to Steve Keim when we get to, I don't know, the combine's over. You've already gone through everything with private workouts to say, you know what, I've settled on Kyler Murray, or I've settled on Dwayne Haskins, or whoever it might be. Are you? Does that make you nervous at all if you have to make that decision that, you know what, I think we go in a different direction at quarterback?
No, I think Steve and I are in alignment. We're going to do what's best for the organization, and he's been awesome for me just to learn through this process and the draft process, how it goes, what it's going to look like. And so we want to make the best decision for this organization now, and we both understand that.
Cliff, what do you think your relationship has got to be like with Josh Rosen for him to be successful? Does it have to be this seen as a peer, maybe? Does it have to be this copacetic relationship where you guys see each other as equals? What, or you're the head dog? How do you describe your relationship with Cliff, or with Josh?
Yeah, he needs to understand we're in this together, and I want him to he has, kind of the keys of the castle, and let's build this deal as a group and make sure that he's comfortable in everything we're doing. If he doesn't like something going on with the offense or the way I'm coaching it, hey, let's talk about it and let's come to the best answer. And I think when they have that type of ownership, it goes a long way.
Mm-hmm. I admit, I'm not a CBA expert, and I'm sure you're still learning a lot about the NFL CBA. How much interaction have you had with Josh? What have you been able to talk about, and what does he know about the air raid?
Yeah, not a ton. Obviously, you can't get into the football extensively at this time of the year, but talked to him a couple times on the phone, and he's excited. I think he played in some similar systems conceptually in college, and I think it'll play to his strengths.
Everyone says that you've got to have a mobile quarterback to be successful in your offense. Do you believe that's true?
Yeah, I'm not sure that's true. You want a guy who can escape, extend plays, move in the pocket, but it doesn't have to be a guy who runs a 4-2. You want a guy who can get you out of a bad play if it's not there and move around. And, Tom Brady's been doing that a long time, and he's not the fastest guy. So a guy who can move, keep his eyes down the field, and extend plays doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be the fast guy on the field.
We're talking to Cliff Kingsbury, head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. Tell us more about, if you could go deeper into what you see in Josh Rosen, because we joke about on this show, just so you know, we were dead set in believing going into the draft last year that Josh Rosen is the most accurate quarterback in the world, but he's a jerk and he's not tough. And then what did we get into this season? We learned the kid's not a jerk. We learned that he is extremely tough, but there were accuracy issues. But we don't know. Were the accuracy issues because he's getting hit in the face all the time, or were they because he's just not as good as we thought? When what you have seen on film and talking to him, what are you seeing? Do you look at his accuracy issues and say there's enough reasons why that happened that you're not worried about it?
I haven't been around him enough to see it. Mm-hmm. I like to make my judgments firsthand and through coaching and watching and evaluating. But like you pointed out, the toughness to continue to get up, continue to fight in some adverse situations, no question, down to the last game. He's driving the team down at Seattle, has a chance to win it. That says a lot about his competitive nature and his spirit, and you can work with those things.
Have you watched every Cardinals play from 2018?
I have.
Oh. Wow. Okay, you have been grinding it. There's no doubt about that, right? Yeah, that 4 a.m. thing, I'm totally believing it right here. Not only that, but you've been compared a lot to Sean McVay. Does that bother you at all, Cliff?
No, Sean's a friend, and I have a tremendous amount of respect for him, his work ethic, what he's done, the way he treats people. And so, that's what he's done is kind of lit the league on fire, and that's everybody's looking for the next guy to do that, and I understand that. And so that doesn't bother me.
Coming up next, more with Cliff Kingsbury, and simply let's all get an education in the air raid. Coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Doug and Wolf bring you Newsmakers Week 2019, presented by Enterprise Bank and Trust, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station, the Arizona Cardinals.
Cliff Kingsbury live in studio for about 10, 11 more minutes before he goes back to work. He's already told us during what we call the not-so-beautiful part of the program, what other people call the break, that he's already been to work. He didn't sleep in and then come into the Auction Community Studios. He was actually already at Cardinals headquarters this morning and then swung over to talk with Doug and Wolf this morning and get to know you, the fans. I want to play this for you because this was pretty funny to all of us. And that is we had your former coach, Mike Leach, on almost immediately after you were hired to talk about the air raid offense and to get to know it. And I was assuming Mike Leach would give us this big finally speech. Finally, somebody trusts the air raid in the NFL. I guarantee it's going to work. And he said, and when we said, Coach, how do you think this is going to go?
You know, I'm kind of curious myself.
wait, that was it? we didn't get anything that we thought
about. We're going to go 5-1.
Do you have a mantra that says, I finally get to prove the air raid at the NFL level?
No, I don't. Like I said, our offense adapts to our personnel. And, you know, the air raid, that's kind of a name that stuck with anybody who worked with Mike Leach. And he's done a tremendous job everywhere he's been running it. And he's kind of the purist of the air raid. And I think everybody else is putting their spin on things and done different types of spinoffs of it. But it's going to be fun to see how this offense obviously works and adapts to the players we have on this roster.
Coach, I know that you guys have already put together the playbook, but describe your offense and the concepts of your offense thereof.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of traditional NFL-style plays, if you will, and we're going to have, NFL run game at times.
You're going to have a fullback, Coach?
We'll see.
We'll see how it goes. Like I said, we want to put the best players on the field and adapt to them, and so we're still evaluating the roster and seeing what fits. But, no, at times we'll play with some tempo. We'll do different things, have an attacking style. But I don't think it'll be as foreign as people are saying.
I don't know whether any of this was fair, but when Bill Walsh came up with, I wouldn't say he came up with it, if you really want to know, it was Paul Brown a long time ago, but when Bill Walsh really had the West Coast offense humming, a lot of people didn't think it was physical. And then you go into the air raid offense, and that's always been the knock at the college level, that you don't bring physicality to the game. And then there's been some color analysts on college broadcasts that say, see, the whole team gets soft when you run that. When you hear that, does that make the blood boil? Can you promise this will be a physical Cardinals team, or is it an offense that prides itself more on leverage and less on physicality?
No, I think, once again, everybody has their different styles and has changed their air raid version to fit their personality.
So what's the Kingsbury air raid?
Yeah, we're going to be a physical attacking offense, you know, regardless of whether we're running every play or throwing it. You know, that's going to be how we play, is physical in the trenches and on the perimeter, and try to make as many first downs and score as many points as possible.
Cliff, I am fascinated with the hiring of Tom Clements. I mean, here's a guy that has been around an awful lot. What is he going to bring to this offense? And what is he going to bring to you personally?
Yeah, his experience, his knowledge of the game. He's been on some tremendous staffs where they scored a lot of points and did incredible things offensively. And then you look at, you know, coaching Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. I mean, that's about as good as it gets on your resume. So he brings a certain sort of calm and organization that's really going to help me in that offensive room.
You can't talk about specific players that are under contract with another team. But if there is a quarterback that you coached while you were an offensive coordinator, let's say, and he knows your offense very well, is that a help to you? Would you like to go after a guy like that and say, I want him as a backup quarterback to Josh Rosen or whoever the quarterback is? Does that helpful? Or is that something that is a little overrated since you are the quarterback's guy?
Yeah, I think it's case-by-case basis. Once again, we're going to see what we have on our roster. And if it fits, it fits. And if not, you know, talking with Steve, we're going to go out and try and upgrade at every position.
Saying case by case is a fantastic answer, in my opinion, on
no
that.
No doubt about that. Coach, you know, again, Sean McVay started talking to Jared Goff in his ear for a long, long time and started telling him things.
Until there were 15 seconds left on the play clock.
Exactly right. That a lot of coaches had not even thought of before in the past, right? Are you going to do the same thing with Josh Rosen?
Yeah, it's the, you know, coach to quarterback communication system is going to be new to me. So I think that definitely will give some time to get some thoughts to him and see what we see defensively and hopefully can help him. You don't want to cloud their mind as well. You want to coach them through the week so that they're ready and prepared for what they're going to face. But yeah, any of that last minute information you get to them could be vital.
What has been something that you've been challenged on and appreciated? And what I mean by that is you have to coach your coaches. You know, you've described before, you've been in college and you don't have the NFL connections. You're meeting these guys. So now you've declared you're my running back coach. You're my offensive line coach. And when you've presented a concept, I'm sure there's been a time or two that they've said, wait, why that? That's not going to work. And you had to stand up and say, yes, it will because of this. Talk us through some of those offensive coordinator, or should I say offensive coaching staff challenges and conversations that have happened.
Yeah, that's been a fascinating experience for me, simply because the rules are different, hashes are different. I mean, there's things that go into it that maybe it doesn't work. And so let's get to the best place collectively for that play. And that's what we've done the last 2 weeks, sat in there and watched a ton of film and said, hey, this play is going to work and this is why, or hey, we got to adjust it because of the field and the hashes and the rules of the game. And so that's been great for all of us, I think.
Coach, as you know, an NFL locker room is filled with a bunch of hyper-aggressive alpha males, at least hopefully. That's the idea of it, right? Is it antiquated to think that a head coach has still got to command the room, so to speak?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think you've got to have their respect, no doubt. They've got to understand why they're doing things and that you're going to have their back and you want what's in the best interest of the organization. And I think as long as you can prove those things, guys will respond and work hard for you.
Do you have a speech ready for the first OTA practice, for the first day of training camp when they're all in? I mean, how does Cliff Kingsbury present himself to this team when they're all looking at you wondering, can this college guy do it?
Yeah, that's, you know, when you get him back in April, that's a little bit early for the win the one for the Gipper speech. But no, I mean, it's going to be about, you know, this is how we're going to do things and why we're going to do things and make sure they understand that the staff's excited to be here and excited to go to work. And it's a new year. What's happened in the past for all of us doesn't matter. And it's what we do from that day forward.
Cliff, your father is amazing. A former Vietnam vet, of course, and a Purple Heart recipient. Talk about the impact he's had on you professionally and personally.
Yeah, what an incredible role model. You know, grew up you were early to everything, you know, with that Marine background. And, you know, unless the bone was sticking out, you didn't lay on the field type mentality. So he's a great man, a great coach. It was awesome to kind of share him with my friends in high school growing up and to see the level of respect they had for him and then to play for him. Wouldn't trade that for the world. So he's still my biggest mentor and biggest fan and means a lot to me.
I say this on air, Wolf never follows me, but I always talk about the wussification of America on how, unfortunately, toughness is not the same. Give us a story about Dad and either his toughness or your toughness because you knew Dad was watching and you had to be that tough.
Yeah, you know, it all stems from when he got shot in Vietnam. He got shot in the jaw and he had to kind of take on enemy fire for like 3 hours waiting for the helicopter to come get him. So anytime, I mean, my brother and I knew not to complain about an injury because that's hard to compare to that. And it started there. And he's just very tough-minded. You know, you never started a sport or started anything and quit. That wasn't, you know, in his vocabulary. And then you were going to be tough. So it was good. You know, I think going through it, it was a little tough, but as you get older, you really appreciate the lessons that he instilled in you.
Wow. God bless him.
What do you think is the biggest misperception of you? What do you think it is out there that you hear people say about Cliff Kingsbury?
I don't really listen to it. I know that sounds cliche, but I try to stay away from all writings and TV shows and all of that and focus on what I can control. And, you know, that's,
well, you know, they've got this Hollywood vision of you, right?
Right. Yeah.
How accurate is that?
Yeah. I mean, not very accurate. I think if you watch me on a daily basis, it's about the least Hollywood lifestyle you can imagine. So I just, you know, you roll with it, you do the best you can every day and, focus on what you can control.
But what was your first reaction to the Red Raider t-shirts from females? Our coach is hotter than you. Like, did you feel bad for Bob Stoops? Did you want to apologize to other coaches?
Yeah, I thought it was a little elitist to drop that. No, what can you do? It was, if somebody can make money off it and have fun with it, you got to just roll with it.
What is going to be your major goal in OTAs? Obviously, it's going to be to install your system, install the offense and the defense, of course. But is there anything you have a goal you have to come out of OTAs accomplishing?
Yeah, I think more than anything, get everyone comfortable with our system, and then the fundamentals and techniques that our staff wants people to use, you know, so you can start on that. And so when they're training on their own 5 weeks in June, they're able to focus on some of those things.
Now, we want to give you one last chance because we get bombarded by 500 mock drafts that say Kyler Murray, Kyler Murray, Kyler Murray. You want to step on all mock draft guys and just declare Josh Rosen is the starting quarterback of 2019, or do you want to tell mock drafts just keep going?
It wouldn't be any fun if we did that. They get let those guys have a lot of speculation and get some clickbait, and we'll just keep having fun with it.
Well, then the last question for you. Talk to Cardinal, everybody that's an Arizona Cardinal fan. They're excited to get to know you. They're excited for 2019 season, but they are upset about 2018. What do you want them to know about either Cliff Kingsbury or this organization going forward?
Yeah, that it is 2019. It's a new staff, you know, new energy. We're going to do things a different way. I do think the roster has a lot of great players that have been very successful in recent history and has some great leadership. And we're going to add some new pieces with some salary cap space in the draft and attack every day. I know it's a passionate fan group base that sells out every game, and it's loud and crazy in there, and just honored to be a part of it and happy to be here.
Coach, really appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for coming in here.
Thank you all for having me.
Absolutely. There's Cliff Kingsbury, the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. Coming up next, do you love the air raid on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station?
Fight.
Two more conversations to go today for Newsmakers Week, and that puts a wrap on 2019. 4-0 Coyotes lost last night, and Rick Tockett will join us at 9 o'clock to talk about the struggles at home and the success on the road. And then GCU President Brian Mueller. Kind of funny, GCU starts Newsmakers Week with Dan Marley, and it ends Newsmakers Week at 9:30 this morning with the president talking about the future of athletics at GCU. And I'll ask, hopefully, an ASU-GCU basketball game at some point.
Blues are on fire, 8 in a row now.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are, and they look like it last night. But the Cliff Kingsbury thing, I think it's important. And this is one of the reasons why I really like Newsmakers Week, and I'm so appreciative of all the franchises completely engaging, and it shows you how hot the competition is for your dollar, that they know that, hey, this is important to them to be able to get in front of you, and at the same time, how much they respect you as a fan. But that man that just walked out of this studio is all football.
Yeah.
I mean, I can tell you there's been so many times we talk to people in this studio and we talk about a lot of other interests, a lot of other things. And I don't judge somebody that they have other interests. It's none of my business, but I like to get to know them. This guy has about a 2-week interest in deep sea fishing and a 50-week devotion to football. And I'm not attacking him when I say this. There's nothing else deeper than football, 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 and the relationship with his father, his brother, and fishing. It's just football, father, and family, and fishing.
Can I tell you as well, Basinonians, I hear so much about his humility over there. That's why I asked him, what is the biggest misperception about you? Because all I hear is about his work ethic over there and the grinder that he is and how humble he is. And I'm sorry, but you know what? Coming into this whole thing, I thought, oh my goodness, here's this glam boy, right? This frat boy coming in here who's got the looks and he's got the IQ and he's got the air raid going on. And man, I'm telling you, we're gonna light the league up, right? And he's anything but that.
And then the quarterback question. We got into it, and he said he is not going to dismiss anybody from the number one pick.
Anybody.
He's not going to dismiss the possibility of taking any quarterback, and none of that has anything to do with the fact that he believes Josh Rosen is the guy.
Yeah, it makes you think you're in the Truman Show, you know, when something like that comes out. You're waiting for the guy to kind of, hey, this is all a big play that you're in. But no, I think anytime you have the first pick, you're going to look at all the top guys. You're going to evaluate everyone, see who can help your franchise, your organization the most right now. And so we'll evaluate them all and go from there.
See, this is the way I think the Arizona Cardinals are going to proceed, and I think it's the way they should proceed, right? Josh Rosen is our guy. Absolutely. Josh Rosen is our guy. What are you talking about? Josh Rosen is our guy. What are you going to give us? Why wouldn't you do that? Why would you not? Of course you would. You can say it, mean it, and believe it. Josh Rosen is our guy, and we're proceeding that way. Why? What are you going to give us in a deal for Josh
Rosen? It is interesting to speculate.
Right?
I don't believe this. I don't think anything's been
proven.
Keep
all your options open.
I don't think anything's been proven, but I want to say this as devil's advocate, and all of us need to think of it, because this is what happens in the room. They've got to prepare for every scenario. And that is the question. You can believe Josh Rosen is a franchise quarterback and believe Kyler Murray's better and believe Dwayne Haskins is better. So then, is it based on the price that other people are offering you? Who do the Giants think is better, Kyler Murray or Josh Rosen? Who does the Jaguars think is better, Josh Rosen? And then you let them pick. It's like you're at the head of the shopping spree.
Would you rather
have Rosen or would you rather have Murray? And they base it on price.
And you could also say this right here. I think Kyler Murray is better, but I don't think he's going to last three games. Right? I mean,
yes.
Think about that.
Yes.
You also have to consider the possibilities of injury and whether or not a guy who's 179 pounds can actually make it at quarterback in the NFL. Now, I realize the league has done incredible things to protect a quarterback.
The game has changed.
But you cannot still. You know he's going to get hit at some point in time, and it's going to be a physical hit, and they're not going to be able to throw the flag. Or maybe they are going to throw the flag, but it doesn't matter because he got hit nonetheless.
We don't have...
Will he hold up?
We don't
That's
have a
the
great...
question that I have for Kyler Murray.
I don't think weight is enough. We don't have a great measurement for thickness. I don't care how thick. Short Russell Wilson is. The guy is thick.
He's thick.
And RG3, I think he actually weighed more than Russell Wilson. Somebody needs to look that up for me. But RG3, even though he actually has more weight than he looks like, he's not thick. You know, he was a thin guy.
No, he's not.
And then guess what? He was fantastic in his first year. Fantastic. Took a couple hits. Boom. Gone. Done. That was it.
Well, Russell Wilson, too, the hits are starting to pile up on him, and they're trying to protect him. They did a much better job of protecting him last year.
Baker Mayfield is thick. Short, but he's thick. Kyler Murray is not thick. Now, Drew Brees is short, not really thick, but he is one of the greatest of all time.
Yes.
When you read the defense that fast, you're getting it out before you get hit. So it changes everything. The other thing we talked about a lot of things with the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, but you asked him, as the speculation grows on Haskins and Murray and the future quarterback of the Arizona Cardinals, is that a distraction for Josh Rosen?
Yeah, I don't think it will. Josh is a strong-minded young man, very competitive and very talented. And he understands that, just like everybody does in this league, that the day you get drafted, everybody's trying to find the next guy to replace you.
That's
right. That's just the nature of the business. And it comes with the territory.
See, it's so interesting to me as a former player because, first of all, how is that not a distraction, to you as a player? How is it not a distraction? You know, here you are, you're going about the business of being a franchise quarterback, and boy, all these rumors circulating out there, and oh my goodness, you might be traded, and they might draft Kyler. How is that not a distraction? That's number one. And distractions are not good for the most part. But can I just offer this up as well as a former player? Do your job! Playing in the NFL is a massive distraction. It is the biggest mercenary league on the face of the planet. Grow up!
I think...
So I can understand.
There's two sides.
I can understand both sides of that.
It's all about communication. And admittedly, not, and even though I want to feel important here, not about communication with us. What is their communication like with Josh Rosen? Okay. The Bears are happy with Mitchell Trubisky. I get it. But you cannot justify from a professionalism standpoint the way they treated Mike Lennon. Please come to our draft party to celebrate with us. Sign a one-year prove-it deal and come to our franchise. And then without telling you, we're going to trade up and go get a quarterback. They use Mike Lennon. Now, Mike Lennon got handsomely paid. He still has to suck it up and be a professional.
Right.
But that was crappy. That was pretty crappy.
Well, it was only because it was a draft day show.
Yes.
Yes. They didn't tell him.
Yes. You could have said.
He had no idea. He thought he was a starter.
How did you not know you were? They knew they were going to trade up, or they were working on it to go get who they wanted. They had made the decision weeks ahead of time. If something presents ourselves to get Trubisky, we're going to do it. And yet the PR department is still out to say, hey, come over here and celebrate. That's different
when you
here.
Move up to number two.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
that was something you had.
You had
in
it in
mind.
Your mind. It's right. Different with Josh Rosen, though, because I don't see a scenario where Josh Rosen is the starting quarterback in 2019 with Kyler Murray or Dwayne Haskins on the roster. You know, you're trading him if he's the guy. So there's nothing wrong with telling him, listen, we're going at this every step of the way. You are the starting quarterback, and don't worry a thing about anything we say publicly.
That's
we're going to
exactly
let all speculation
right.
go.
And he shouldn't.
And he shouldn't. And that
whether they mean it or not,
right.
whether the organization means it or not, he shouldn't. Do your job.
And if they back out of this and they change their mind, they're going to be trading Josh Rosen somewhere else. And then he can claim the Cardinals are one of the three mistakes.
Listen, you know what? Honestly, when you play in the National Football League, they owe you nothing but a paycheck.
Now, if there's a story that can make you feel motivated to be an American and to explain how Cliff Kingsbury is tough enough to handle his first time as an NFL head coach, if you didn't hear the story of his dad, you need to. All of us do as Americans. Next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.